Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
All right, there we go. So, anyway, in preparation, I was listening to Philippians, listened to it about 3 or 4 times, and I was praying as I do it, and just praying in tongues and saying, God, speak to me. I really want to hear what you want me to speak about today to the people. And as I kept listening, you know, certain things jumped out, and, you know, sometimes it's your mind just, you know, thinking about what you're hearing. And then I was like, okay, God, I'm waiting for that thing to hit and stick. Because how many know when God speaks to you, sometimes you definitely know the difference. And sometimes it's some things that you were going through. So as I was reading it and hearing it, God's word came to me on having a pure heart. Somebody say a pure heart. Now, we hear that a lot in the Bible. In one of the famous sermons of Jesus, we hear him say, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Amen. So a couple of things we see about the pure in heart is they have a relationship with God, right? Because they will see God. But we also see that they are blessed. Amen. Now, we all want that. Yes, God, I want to be blessed. And we all want to know God. But the key ingredient is that pure heart. So I was like, man, you know what? I've been in church a long time, and I haven't heard somebody preach on a pure heart in a while, at least myself. But as I was preparing for this, I was like, man, God, the crazy thing about having a pure heart is God must be able to convict you to know that your heart is in a bad place to begin with. Amen. So this Wednesday we had choir rehearsal, and my mom was telling me a part, and you know, sometimes when my mom tells me parts, I be like, I know it. All right, go. Let's go to the next part. And then this week I said, I haven't drove all week. I got to go. Right. And as soon as it came out of my mouth, I was like, dang, I shouldn't have said that. The Spirit of God spoke to me. So I text my mom and I said, man, I'm sorry. I should not have said that. And, you know, my mom just laughed, LOL. She said that back. But to me, I knew that my heart wasn't in the right place when I said that. And that could come from worry, right? Anybody, if you didn't go into your job and you didn't get paid that week, sometimes it's a little bit different. It was a holiday, so I took some time off, right? Stuff you do sometimes. But I was like, I have to make sure that my heart is right, even when preparing for God's presence. Amen. Preparing for God's presence. So for me, this hit home, and I was like, God, work on my heart. Right? There's many things that begin to happen. The Bible talks about out of the heart, the mouth speaks. The thoughts that are in your mind really come from your heart. So when you are having issues or thoughts, many of us have these thoughts. I preached about this last week. Nobody knows what your thought life is doing right now. Your brain is like a clock. It never stops, even while you're dreaming, right? Sometimes even the dreams that we have are because of our thought life. But we have to cast down, as the word of God says, any and every imagination that comes up against the word of Christ and pull it down. Amen? So one of the key ingredients to allowing yourself to have a pure heart is to, number one, know what pure is. Okay? Now, let me say this. A pure heart does not come from you just doing all the right things. Okay? Now, that might sound like a contradiction, but let me break it down. A pure heart comes from you knowing God and him revealing to you what righteousness is. And because of your relationship with God, you want to please God. So what begins to happen is you begin to become more like God. right? Not that we can worship you, but when you are in awe of something, you begin to become like it, right? I remember I told you guys about Deion Sanders. I was in awe of Deion Sanders as a football player, so I began to do everything I can. The only thing I didn't have was his speed, right? Deion Sanders ran like a 4.1 40 time, one of the fastest players ever, and he's like 40, he might be pushing 50, and he probably can still run a 4.5, and that's faster than I ever ran, right? But when you become in awe of people, for example, of Michael Jordan, some people are in awe of Michael Jordan, especially basketball players. Kobe Bryant was probably the most in awe of Michael Jordan because he did so many things just like him. He began to talk like him at the podium, right? He began to walk like him on the court. He began to even do all his moves because he was in such awe of him. So we have to do the same thing when it comes to being in awe of who Jesus Christ is. Amen. When we look at Jesus and look at some of the things he said, look at the actions that he had in his life, it should make us be like, wow, what would it be like if I was there? What would be my reaction? Have you guys ever thought about that? When Jesus was saying certain things, and if you were there and you saw these type of things, but guess what? The more you build a relationship with him, the more you get that excitement. So when people start talking about God, oh, man, I love hearing this. How many times do you go to church and it's like, man, I don't really want to hear the pastor. Not another sermon, right? Praise God. And, you know, I thank God our saints are just like, oh, no, that's not us. Right? But sometimes if our hearts are not in the right place and saying, hey, I want to become more and more like Christ, we get to the place where church becomes to get, oh, not another one. Not another service. But if you are in awe of Christ, you will be excited fellowshipping with the believers. And I'm going to do something I don't normally do. I'm going to read the devotional that I read. And if anybody has an Android or iPhone, there's an app called, it's the Bible app by YouVersion. And I'm reading a devotional by Joyce Myers, and I just want to read this because it kind of dealt with having a pure heart, but it talks about suspicion of other people. Now, how many of you grew up, she kind of talks about it in this, but you grew up and your parents told you to be suspicious about everybody. Watch out for that person. And my grandma is huge on that, and I love my grandma. But sometimes I'll be like, Grandma, you're ODing right now. It's too much, right? But what happens is that becomes part of your heart where you're suspicious about people. And let's read what Joyce Meyer said in her devotion that she wrote. It's called Suspicious of Suspicion. In today's scripture, these words about love are familiar to most of us, but I can honestly say that living them has not always been easy for me. As a child, I was not exposed to this kind of love. In fact, I was taught to be suspicious of everyone. I was told that the motives of other people were not to be trusted. While it was wise to be aware of people's motives, we must be careful that we don't allow our suspicious nature to negatively affect our feelings about everyone. An overly suspicious nature can poison your mind and affect your ability to love and accept other people. Consider this example. Suppose a friend approaches you after a church service and says, "Do you know what Doris thinks about you?" Then the friend tells you every detail of the things Doris said. The first problem is that a true friend wouldn't share such information. And the second problem is that with an already suspicious mind, you now believe secondhand information. Suppose that one day in church, Doris is sitting just a few rows in front of you, praising the Lord. Immediately, you think she's such a hypocrite. Then the Holy Spirit directs your thoughts to your own condition and the fact that you were praising the Lord while harboring bad feelings toward Doris. Didn't Jesus tell us to make peace with others before we present our gifts to him? Convicted by these words of Jesus, you apologize to Doris for your bad feelings you've had toward her, and she stares at you in absolute shock. Then you realize your mistake. You misinterpreted the information your friends shared with you about Doris, allowing the devil to turn you against a wonderful, godly woman. This is a good example of how suspicion can cripple relationships and destroy our joy while it leads us astray. It took me a while to overcome a lifetime of suspicions, but I finally learned that when we love God's way, we have no place for suspicion of others. And that's, once again, that's from the devotional book, Battlefield of the Mind by Joyce Meyer. Now, it's interesting because there are so many different things that can hinder us from having a pure heart towards God. This suspicion can do that. And I'm not going to lie. I've been guilty of, I don't know if that person's really saved. How many of you have thought that in your head before? Let's just be honest, right? And many times when we do that, we put ourselves in the place of who? God. Now, guess what? Some of them may not be saved right then and there, but God is able, amen, to save. We have to believe that he's that powerful. And instead of saying, I don't believe that person's saved, maybe if we have a pure heart, we begin to pray, God, save them. And you don't have to say it out loud. You know how some people overly holy, God, save them, because they're not living for you. Yeah, they might not be. But begin to pray for them. Maybe even in your quiet time, pray for that person that God will reveal himself to him, to them, or to her, to him, so that they can have a lifestyle that is exciting, a lifestyle that God is glorified in their life. Amen? There's times that we have to pray these things. And I'm going to say this, in battling to have a pure heart, you have to defeat the thoughts that are in your mind, like I said again, that are contrary to what God is saying. So check this out. A pure heart is something that God gives to you once you accept his son. But just like God gave Adam and Eve the whole world, he said, go ahead and do it. You have dominion over it. The enemy slithered in as a snake, the word of God says, to destroy their what? Their pure hearts. He said, hey, eat this fruit. We all know the story. They ate the fruit. But he found a spot in their heart that they wanted to be like God, but they went about it the wrong way. Because a thought came in that did not align with what God said, they surrendered to that thought instead of the word of God. This is why, and I want you guys to say this, this is why we must read his word. Guess what? If you don't know God's word, you cannot live God's word. Okay? That's very important. If I don't know what God's word says, then I cannot live God's word. Right? If I'm driving, and I've had this happen, I might have some person that's very intoxicated. They might not know their address. I don't know their address because I don't know them from Adam. It's funny. But I'm like, hey, where are you going? And they're like, oh, I don't know. There's a problem. Right? Because I have no directions. Right? And actually, one time I had this happen and I was like, okay, what part of the city do you live in? At least give me some kind of information. Where are you going? Where do you stay at? And that person, those two people there, they actually gave me a little bit of information. So I figured out where they were. Once they got close, they're kind of like, yeah, this is where it is. And it's funny, but it's not funny because many of us live blinded trying to follow God's word, but we don't know his word. Right? So we have to spend time in his word. Find and make time to spend in God's word. Amen. I got a couple of scriptures I'm going to read and then we'll be done for today. But I looked up the definition of a pure heart, and then I'm going to jump into the scripture, and then I have a quote. But it says, a pure heart is without malice, somebody without malice, or without treachery or evil intent. Somebody that is honest, sincere, and guileless, right? Which guile is nasty, but they don't have that nastiness to them. Amen? So when I look at that, that's something that we want to become. Honest, sincere, right? Now, we all want those characters, but there's things that could come up that can produce unhonesty, right? That can produce evil intent. Now, I was listening to the Bible this week, and one of the things that it was talking about was anger. And in the Bible, it says, you know, we heard people say, be angry, but sin not, right? But one thing about anger, it says, do not allow the sun to set while you are angry with somebody, because it produces a foothold for the devil, right, to use. Have you ever seen somebody that was so angry they couldn't sleep at night, right? And what begins to happen is thoughts start going, I'm going to do this to this person, right? Oh, don't let me see them, because this is going to happen. Oh, man, I wish they were here right now, right? And they're getting worked up. And usually it's thoughts that are sinful thoughts, because they're not, ooh, if I could see them, I'll give them a hug right now. It's more like, ooh, if I see them, I'm trying to take their head off, right? I mean, at least I had three younger brothers, and, you know, we even had a one foster brother and another. We had a couple people live in the house. So, unfortunately, being an older brother, the younger brothers always wanted to try you, right? And, you know, I thank God that we don't have any rocky relationships. We obviously had certain fights. Anybody that had brothers and sisters, if you didn't have a fight with your brothers and sisters, I don't know what y'all did, right? But in the heat of a fight, it was no, I'm not going to do anything to you. It's like, man, listen, I'm trying to blast you. There's a hole in the wall. Mom, did you fix that hole yet? Upstairs. Yeah, I was trying to, me and my brother were on the floor. I'm not going to tell you which brother, but I swung and I missed him, and it put a hole in the wall, right? And we're on the floor, so it's not like I'm standing up, but it just shows the intent of my heart was to punish him, right? Now, as I got older, my parents got on me anytime I got in a fight with my brothers. No matter if I was right or wrong, I would get in trouble as the older brother. So what began to happen is when my brothers did certain things, I didn't want to fight them anymore. Right? Because my heart was changing, like, man, yeah, I can't do that. Because, I mean, it's not I can do it, but I don't want to do it. Right? And what began to happen, even my younger brothers, I would just throw them on the bed. I would be like, listen, I don't want to fight you, man. And throw them on the bed, and they keep coming. Listen, I don't want to fight you. Let's just chill, right? But what happened is my heart changed towards my little brothers, right? And until you have that heart change, you're still that person that's trying to destroy them. And like going back to what I said, if you allow anger in your heart to continue to fuel you, it can cause problems.
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197. to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this.
One time I was listening to an interview and I heard a Christian rapper say that they asked him, what is something that influences your music? And he said, anger. And I heard that and I was like, I don't like that. Because that's not what God wants you to have influencing you in your life. I remember talking to Chamie and he was like, man, we were talking about the same type of thing. And I was like, anger should never lead you in anything. It should never drive you to do anything because that is not of God. Now, there is a righteous anger, right? But righteous anger produces righteousness. That's when somebody does something that is against God and you stand up and say, nah, listen, I'm standing with God. I don't care what you say. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what everybody else says. I'm going to stand for God. That's the difference. But when you allow anger to fuel you, that becomes part of your heart. And then what begins to happen every time, every moment you get, you're angry. This is why you have road rage, right? And road rage is not an easy thing to get over. I know church people that got road rage. Now, they might not curse in front of me at least, right? But it's so funny, like, because when you're around these people, you're like, dang, like, calm down. Now, there's certain things that happen, and you're like, whoa, what's wrong with that person driving crazy? But I'm not going to, oh, man, let me speed up and let them, no way, I'm waving my fist at them. I'm like, come on, man. I remember one time, one story. This is actually not a story. This is real life. I was in Shoreline headed to school, and these two kids were arguing. So one of them came up to the window of the other. He got out of his car, came up to the window, and slapped the guy. And I was like, whoa, I'm watching this. So that guy gets out angry, irate, right? Hops out his car, starts trying to fight. They're trying to swing. None of them connect on any punches. I was like, this is a horrible fight. You know, if you want to see a fight, it at least got to be good, right? But anyway, his car, he's on a hill, and his car starts going backwards. So I'm honking like, hey, you know, I'm like, get your car so it doesn't hit somebody else, right? But you see what anger does? It blinds you to what's going on. He didn't even put his car in park, right? So eventually he runs and gets his car. I mean, it literally went from here probably to the other side of the street over there going backwards. And I'm like, wow, I'm surprised it didn't hit nobody. But they get in, he gets in his car, another guy leaves. But I was just like, is it worth that? Over somebody maybe crossing your lane or something? It's not. Now let's go ahead and read the scriptures that I wanted to read today. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 18. I'll probably stop after this one, actually. It says, let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, a couple of things that we see with Jesus. He's the ultimate pure heart. We know that, right? There was no fault in his heart, no wrong in his heart. But a couple of things we see, it says, Paul is talking to the Philippians. These are people that are already saved, But he's like, let's take it further than just giving your life to God. Now let's start to have the mind of Christ. Keys to having the mind of Christ, or some people like to say this major keys to having the mind of Christ is, one, humbleness. Right? Be humble. It's very important to be humble. Now, many times when we begin to sin, humbleness is out the window. Because usually when something arises, you're saying you're better than that, or I deserve this, right? But when you're humble, you say, man, I'm not even worthy. And Jesus, when he came down to earth, he humbled himself. I had a song, he went from the crown to the cross. From the cross back to the crown. Jesus Christ came to earth to lay his life down. Right? Just imagine enjoying heaven. Right? No problems. I'm with God. Easy. Then you get shot down to earth. For 33 years amongst chaos. And it says he humbled himself to be as a man, even though he was God. Right? Imagine having all the power in the world, but saying, I'm not going to use it. To be humble, not because you're fearful, right? But being humble caused him to have a pure heart. A lot of times our hearts are defiled because we think we have arrived to a certain area, or we are worth certain things. But if we want to have a pure heart, we must be humble. It said he humbled himself and became obedient. Somebody say obedient. Now, obedient is not a great word that we like to hear. Anytime somebody says obey, I know they got a big clothing line that says obey these days, but a lot of people don't like to obey. Maybe that's why they're selling so good. They like to wear it, but they don't want to do it. But it says he became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Do you guys know that? Just so you guys know that a death on the cross was considered the worst way to die. It was actually a curse to die on a cross, to die on a tree, right? But Jesus humbled himself to that point when, at many times, he even said it in the garden. He said, Peter, put your sword away. Don't you know I could call down a legion of angels and shut this whole thing down? But he said, I'm not going to do that. Because this is the reason why I was sent. So we must be humble, and we must be obedient to God's word in our lives so that we can produce what God wants in us. That's a pure heart. Now, let me say this. You can't produce the pure heart, but being obedient helps that become part of who you are. You guys catch that? I have a quote. It says, the aim of Jesus Christ is not to reform the manners of society, but to change the heart of sinners like you and me. You guys catch that? It's not about changing what you do. Because some people they think getting saved is just being good. But you can never be good enough. Because the Pharisees said they were good. Matter of fact, when I listened to this chapter in Philippians, Paul was talking about, if we want to go about somebody that kept the law, I did that. I was circumcised on the eighth day. I did this. I did that. If we want to brag about that, I can do that. But then he says, I count that nothing in comparison of knowing who Jesus Christ is. And he says, if you think that's what's going to save you, you are lost, because what begins to happen is you are puffed up with pride, thinking that you have deserved God's grace, thinking that you have deserved God's mercy, but you don't deserve it. God deserves it. And we accept him, and that's how we are, as my dad would say, our imputed righteousness, which means given, because I don't know why my dad always uses those big words, the lawyer side of him. I'd be like, Dad, what does imputed mean? You have been given free of charge as soon as you accept Jesus. Let me keep on reading. And it says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. You guys see that? Being obedient will allow God to work in you. It will allow God to purify your heart. Right? For it is God, in verse 13 again, who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. You don't wake up one day just saying, God, I want to please you, without God working on you. Right? Then he gives a few more instructions. We're talking about a pure heart. And I got four more verses and we'll be done. It says, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Then it says, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. These are some more things that begin to happen as you are in tune with God. God makes your heart pure. And then he says, do things without complaining and disputing. Once again, when you are complaining and arguing about things, it's usually to prove your, I'll just say this. I've been married 13 years, almost. Right, babe? I love my wife, too. Thank God for her. But I learned one thing growing up. Growing up. If you argue about things, you could be right in your marriage, but it won't feel right in your marriage. You understand what I'm saying? When I say that, I can argue and be like, I'm right. This is what it is. And then what I begin to know is I was like, listen, I'm just going to have to let God show her that it's right. I could tell her this until I'm blue in the face, but until she agrees with it, what good is it? Then it begins to cause division when you are arguing, right? And I tell people this, all the time while I'm driving. People ask me about my wife, how I met her. I was like, man, I thank God for my wife. Like, we haven't really had any major arguments. I don't even think really even minor arguments. Well, it might be something like little stuff. But what begins to happen is we reconcile quickly. Right? Admit that you're wrong fast. Ask for repentance, even with each other. Forgive me for that. Why? Because we don't want any foothold of the enemy, even in our marriage. Amen? But when you, it says also becoming, that you may do everything without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. And it says, be lights amongst them. Do you notice that if you do that and people look at you and say, man, you're a great guy. I can't believe how good you are. Or man, you see what she does? She's always doesn't have a problem with people. And then they start asking you, how do you do that? Right? Yesterday, I've been driving Uber for almost 2 years. The highest rating is that you can have is a 5 I have like a 4.95, but people see it as a 5. So they get it. Hey, how do you have a 5? What did you do? I said, I don't do too much. I learn how to work with people. And when people, some of the things that I do that makes them excited, I really want to know about these people. So I asked them, what? Oh, you're going to school? What are you going to school for? One of my favorite questions is, what is a dream job that you want to have? I know you work in the job now, but what's a dream? And people start, oh, man, if I could do, they feel good because they're thinking about what they want to do in life. And when you have that kind of gift, people start seeing it. And when it begins, it's a light. Now, I don't tell everybody, oh, yeah, that's because I'm a Christian. That's why I have a 5-point stars, or I have 5. I don't tell everybody that. But then when people start asking me what I do, I tell them, oh, yeah, I'm a father of 5 kids. And they're like, what? 5 kids? Matter of fact, I got to say this yesterday. Me and my wife, we went shopping yesterday at North Bend out in it's like on the way to this Eastern Washington area, like past Issaquah. So we're in the stores walking, and people are like, oh, 5 kids. Like, as soon as we walk in the door, it is so funny. And so we just start cracking up. One lady was like, what did she ask me, babe? Or she said something like, something about how do you keep it all, or do you have it all together? I said, all the time, right? So when I said that, she was like, wow. Because I'm not going to allow kids to stress me. Now, that doesn't mean that there's not times where the kids say to do certain things they're not supposed to. But I will never allow kids to wear me out, right? But it's interesting. People are like, I can't even imagine. I have 2 kids, and if I had more, that's because worry consumes their lives. You can't live like that. But I just want to encourage us, as we continue to allow God to work in us, to have a pure heart that honors him at all times. Allow that to transform into our mindsets, our hearts. From the heart, the mouth speaks. Even the words that we speak, may they be what God considers from a pure heart. Amen? Dear God, I thank you, dear God, for your word. I thank you for the opportunity to share. I thank you, dear God, that you are a God that moves even beyond what we say and do, dear God. And I pray, dear God, that this word will be planted on ripe soil, oh God, and that it will spring up fruits in our lives, oh God. That we hear this word and we want to align our life with this word. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We give your name the honor, the glory, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If that was impactful to you, go ahead and slip up your hand. Praise the Lord. We all should want to have a pure heart. And I think the great thing about God is sometimes he'll give us little messages or nuggets, or you'll even just be walking and something is said that's like, man, I got to have a pure heart. Right? And I think God is able to do that. Yes.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon. And we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.